Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to visualize world healing and world peace. Notice your thoughts. Release any thought of the future or the past, presencing yourself to the moment right now. Envision silver-white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc of bright light moving up your back, all the way up to the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. I'm going to lead you through a relaxation exercise. Please join in. For a moment, just tightening my feet and legs, just for a moment, tightening them, including my toes. And now letting go and releasing and relaxing my legs, my feet, and my toes. Just for a moment, I tighten my abdomen and pelvis and my buttocks. And then I loose them and let them go. All the while breathing deeply and consciously. For a moment, I tighten my arms and hands and may even clench them for a second. And then I loose them and let them go, relaxing my arms and hands and fingers. I relax my chest and my shoulders and my neck as I continue to breathe deeply. For a moment, I tighten my face into a frown, squinting my eyes, tightening my tongue for a second, and then I release, softening my face, especially around my eyes, and relaxing my tongue. I notice the change in my body since I began this process. I notice how much I perhaps had been holding in my body, and it feels relaxed now. I'm willing to let go of tension in my life. I'm willing to let go of stress and pressure. I'm willing to let go of whatever I may have had fear associated with. I'm willing to enhance, enliven the power of love that I intrinsically am. I'm willing to express this power of love in the emotion of love, in being loving, kind, compassionate, as I allow this expression, my life situations are glorious. I'm thankful for this experience this morning and this conscious realization of who I really am. I'm thankful for each person gathered here this morning and our extended community, no matter where they are. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is fear depletes and love enlivens us. Fear depletes our energy and love enlivens our energy. It's important, first of all, for us to get clear that when we can actually say truthfully that love is the absence of fear. But the opposite is not true. Fear is not the opposite, is not the absence of love. Now, when I'm speaking about love, I'm speaking about the power of love. The power of love is everywhere present, omnipresent. We can say fear is the absence of the expression of love that shows up like the emotion of love, and that would be accurate. Okay? So my purpose is threefold. If we were going to university and only had two choices, which university would we choose? I'll leave that with you for a moment and come back to that in a moment. Number two, I want to address just a few ways that fear and love show up in our life. This is a big one. I mean, we could do a whole weekend workshop on this one, couldn't we? And number three, like Marianne Williamson says, let us return to love. And let us always remember to ask for assistance. It's well known now that babies are only born with two fears, the fear of a loud noise and the fear of falling or being dropped, not thinking ahead, but, you know, like that. And so that means all others are learned. Deepak Chopra has said this, and I'm paraphrasing, all fears are grounded in fear of mortality. I say it a little bit differently, is fear that has to do with us dying. If we look deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, what's under that, what's under that, what's under that, when we're looking at any kind of fear. What's underneath it all is that. So I just briefly want to ask you, you know, what are some of your fears? If you're willing to tell the truth, what are some of your fears? People can answer, well, I have the fear of, long time ago I learned that it's more healthy to say it this way, I have a fear associated with. I have a fear associated with. So the question is, who does the association? Haha. We do. Not fear of something, it's fear associated with something. Therefore, we look at who's associating it. And then we come back to ourselves. Getting back to that little question about if there was only two universities, which would you choose? There's the university that would offer a bunch of fear state courses. Teach us how to really be fearful in life. I think there's a lot of that going around right now. You don't have to go to university. And then, of course, there's the alternative, the University of Love. Now, in the university that teaches the fear state courses, that would, of course, teach about guilt and about blame and about shame and about judgment. Teach us how to beat ourselves up so that we don't make any other mistakes, how to use blame to avoid being responsible, And of course, the prerequisite would be courses on how to control yourself and others, manipulate. That being right is when you're really happy. And how to feel safe all the time. That university would teach us how to use time, dwell on the problem, and learn how to worry and not trust others, yourself, of course, God. And of course, there had to be a course on scarcity. Couldn't have that university unless it had a course on scarcity. And you know, scarcity is a great motivation sometimes. Included in that course is if you give something away that's believed important, you'll have less. You probably never will have it again. So let's forget about that university for a while. I think most of us here would choose the University of Love. We always have it as a backdrop here when I'm standing on the stage in mirrored letters, Love at the Core. Of course, that's the title of a 10-week course that I lead every fall, but it's actually one of our fundamental basic principles that we affirm here at the center, is who we are intrinsically is love at the core. The power of love at the core. So the University of Love would teach that. It would teach what the Course in Miracles teaches, that removing any blocks to the awareness of who you are as love, removing any blocks to the awareness of love's presence, removing any sense of separation. I won't say removing separation because there is no such thing as separation. It's all in our mind, the sense of separation. Of course, the University of Love would teach acceptance, not only of others, but of ourselves. Forgiveness. Healing. The use of time to let go of the past and to presence ourselves in the now. One of the books would probably be The Power of Now, or A New Earth, that Oprah's doing on Monday nights with Eckhart Tolle. And of course, the University of Love would include abundance and service, letting us know that that gives us purpose and meaning, and that love and compassion increase as we give them away. So there wouldn't be that sense of scarcity of, oh, I give something away, I won't have it. Last week I shared with you that I used to have a facilitator teacher that used to say he'd just stop in the middle of his whole weekend lecture and say, choose, soul! And that was a good one for me and all the people sitting in the audience. It made us think throughout the week and later on, what am I choosing? It's not like we're, you know, I kind of couch this in two universities, but what are we choosing? Are we choosing to live our life in thoughts that have us have fear associated with some of those thoughts? Or are we choosing to remember who and what we really are? You know, if we were choosing a place to go for higher learning, we would say, what do we want to learn? And it's true, you know, we choose the curriculum. Do we want to be a student of love or do we want to be a student of fear? How do we want our children to be? Do we want them to be students of love or students of fear? Jerry Jampolsky, he wrote the book initially. He's written a couple of books, Love is Letting Go of Fear. And he started attitudinal healing centers throughout the United States and abroad. And he and his son, Lee Jampolsky, are both Course in Miracles students and teachers. I was reading Lee Jampolsky's little book called Smile for No Good Reason. And you know what? I actually had Faith take off the internet, but it didn't work on the CD. But I don't know if any of you have ever heard or gotten the email where it is just a baby giggling. And you listen to that, you open that email and you listen to that giggle. You cannot help but laugh and giggle. You cannot help but do that. So Lee is saying, you know, smile for no good reason. Some people say, well, I can't smile. This is going on in my life. Mm-hmm. Attitudinal healing, he says in this little book, defines health as the inner peace and recognizing that healing is letting go of fear-based thoughts. Fear-based thoughts. A lot of what we do here at the center is about remembering who we are. Spiritual remembrance comes from our thoughts, but also some of the things that we do. He addresses in this great little book, Smile for No Good Reason, less thinking, acquiring, complaining, controlling, criticizing, arguing, less hurrying, sometimes less talking, for sure less hating, less attack thoughts of ourselves and others, less obsessing, judging, saying what's wrong, how it shouldn't be, less of that. Less of that. And what more of? More attention to heart-based things. Giving. Letting go. You know, sometimes the word praise comes up, but I like the word appreciation. When we appreciate something, it's just like praising it. Acknowledging, forgiving, being in nature, being grounded in nowness, being still, setting it up for ourselves to have some silence every day. I think some people pay more attention to the contents of their bank account and fridge than they do the contents of their mind. You know, sometimes I think that there needs to be some good bumper stickers like bitter or better, your choice. Do you want to be right or do you want to be healthy? You know, it's interesting for us to look at our life and really tell the truth. When something goes on, or somebody says something, or something happens that isn't as, it was kind of unplanned or unexpected, how are you with that? A lot of people just react immediately, and they react with some form of anger, or degrees, there's degrees. But another way is to consciously respond. And especially if it's with a person. You know, I don't know who said this statement, but it's served me well. They have wounds that we know not of. They have wounds that we know not of. And then I always remember the S training and the forum. Great courses of instruction. And they had us look at in very, very profound, I think it was the sixth day or something like that. What are these reactions costing me? I didn't say responses, I said reactions. What is it costing me? And when we look deeper and when we look deeper and we look deeper, it always costs our aliveness. Always costs our aliveness. If we ever hold grudges and know that we're holding ourselves back, it's impossible to hold a grudge and have peace of mind. Whenever we're upset, can we look deeper and look deeper and think to ourselves, now just a minute here, I'm upset. Was there an expectation that I had that didn't happen? We could say it like this. Was there a thwarted expectation here? Is that why I'm upset? Of Course in Miracles says this, we are never upset for the reason we think. What we think is happening here, what they said or did, or the circumstances or the conditions. Think of the last time you had a complaint. Could be a big one or a little one. Usually it's based on something that we're not communicating. And it may be an expectation. The other day I was looking out my kitchen window over my sink, and I overlook I'm at the end unit in the townhouses unit that I'm in, and I overlook kind of the rear end of my garage and across the way's garage, and they had their garbage can behind their garage, and there was a bunch of garbage strewn outside of their garbage can. And I stood at my sink and I watched my thoughts. This is a good thing to do, you know. You get to see when you're an ego or when you're really expressing who you really are. First off, I thought, that garbage has been out there about 5 days. Don't they see it there? I see it there every day. How come they're not picking it up? And then I thought, is this worth it to have these kind of thoughts? So the next time I was out with Rosie, I went around back there and I picked up their garbage, put it in the garbage can. And then as I was doing that, I thought, you know, I could knock on their door and tell them. Which part of me was saying that? And then I thought, you know what, Gail, choose your arguments. Choose where you're going to, choose, soul! Choose where you're going to expend your energy. So, you know, we always have an opportunity like that to really look at what, you know, how we're thinking, how we're feeling can lead us to what we just thought of, because the thought will produce the feeling. And remember, when we're feeling, we're in a vibration. And that vibration will attract whatever we're vibrating. So it's real, you know, important for us to really, you know, catch ourselves. Little things or big things. For sure, the University of Love would have a course on generosity. It's been said that a shift that is life-changing, instead of being a problem discoverer or even a problem solver, become a love giver. So many times when we think of generosity, especially in church, especially when the minister starts talking generosity, I'm sure there's some people here that are going to say, oh, she's going to talk about money. Generosity is not only about money, just like prosperity is not only about money. We're generous when we're patient. We had a whole topic, I think, at the beginning of this month or last month, I guess it was, on kindness. We're generous when we're kind. Now remember, it's not only being kind out there, of course that's important. How kind are we to ourselves? Especially when we think that fear depletes and love enlivens. Generosity is about caring. Caring for ourselves first. Now you go on an aircraft, they tell you if in case of a problem, those masks come down with oxygen, what do they tell you? Put it on yourself first before you put it on your child if you're traveling with someone. Anne is facilitating tolerance downstairs. Generosity is tolerance, it's forgiveness, it's compassion. Lee says in his book, if you offer compassion when you receive manure, you will get roses. Sometimes when we receive manure, we want to throw it back, don't we? Generosity is giving our time to someone. Our talent, our resources, our acceptance, our understanding. One of the most generous things we can do with other people is to give them a listening ear and really hear them. Listen to what they're saying, not start thinking about what you're going to say in response or give an example from your life. You can do that, but listen to them while they're speaking. Lee, in this great little book, gives the suggestion, for 1 week, go out of your way to give cheerfully. Just to give cheerfully. And I've given you lots of examples of what we could give. Don't focus on getting. Don't focus on, well, what am I going to receive back? Stop thinking of any thought about when you give, you're losing something, or there won't be more where that came from. See, unconditional love gives of itself freely, with no thought of return. Fear-based giving always wants a return on the investment. Like, can show up like this. You owe me now. I've been good to you. Boy, this would really be something for relationship workshops. Marianne Williamson wrote a wonderful book a few years ago called Return to Love. Good question that we could ask ourselves is, what would love do here? If I was really remembering who and what I am, what would love do here? How would love be here? What would love say here? You know, my dad was Polish and very, 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 very strict. And one of the things that I remember him always telling us, think twice before you speak. That's held me in good stead. Sometimes I don't listen and then I get into trouble. When we think twice before we speak, we're taking the time to respond. When we just kind of lash out like that, we're reacting. We haven't thought about it. I came across a little story. It's called Identifying Possibilities, but I think this ties really well into what I'm speaking about as we kind of come to a close here. This is Shirley Jones wrote this. I don't know who she is. Well, yeah, she is a New Thought minister in Utah. One afternoon, her 16-year-old cat sat at the door, looked up at her, and wanted out. I let her out. After a few hours, I heard her meowing, letting me know she wanted to come in. I saw her at the front door. I didn't want to go down the stairs to let her in, so I opened the back door, turned on the light, and yelled for her to come to the back door. Her meowing became more intense. Again, I went to the back door, yelled at her, flicked the lights off and on. I went to the window, I yelled and pointed to her. I wanted her to learn more flexibility. I even went around to the side of the house where she could see me, calling her. I called her again, and then I led her into the back entrance. This ritual was repeated several times during the week. You're probably wondering why I bother to write about my cat. I do so because children and animals can be wonderful teachers when we see their behavior and ours. We're always faced with new opportunities. We can stand at a closed door and make verbal and emotional noises as we demand that the door be reopened. Now, how does this apply to us in our life? Well, some examples would be if we've lost a job or let go of a job. Just lately, there was a big company here in Central Saanich that closed down, what, 400 or 500 people. Finished. In that job. When a relationship changes, or maybe our health changes, we can be so busy complaining about the inconvenience and the pain of the change that we are not willing to the point we're being unable to see a new opportunity, a new door is open to us. And even God speaking to us, we're not listening. We get stuck in our old ways of doing, just like that cat, you know, sitting at that door, wanting in that door. The cat had to become quiet so that she could listen and hear her say, you know, come over here. So us too, you know, silence and calmness, so that that infinite presence and power, that divine wisdom, that divine order, that orchestration we're going to be talking about next week, next month, all next month, can lead us to our next step. So each of us must know that there is a totally aware presence that is our very life, that is available to us when what? When we ask. So it's important to learn to ask, to be guided, to help us to focus on love rather than fear, to listen. You know what? If we really took the time to listen, who we are innately will tell us how to handle it, will tell us what to say. But a lot of us don't pause long enough to listen to that and to remain flexible. So, you know, she completes by just saying, find a place where you can be still and listen and ask for help. And so many times when we're up against a rock and a hard place in our life, we're up against challenges, that's like the, you know, like sometimes people say, well, I guess I'll just have to pray about this. Oh my God, this is... It's like the last thing to do instead of just getting quiet and listening within. I want to close with just an adaptation of a closing prayer that Marianne Williamson has in her book, Return to Love, and I've changed a word or two, but I would just like you to uncross your arms and legs and just breathe deeply, and if you feel comfortable closing your eyes, I ask you to do that. Infinite presence and power, universal life force, dear God, I give this day to you. I give this day and the results of my work and the desires of my heart. I of my small self can do nothing. the large self that I am, the expression of God in, through, and as me, can do all things. I place my questions, my challenges, on the infinite intelligence, wisdom, and divine order, divine orchestration. I now return to love. I now consciously realize, remember, I am loved, loving, lovable, and innately an expression of the power of love. As I remain centered in this, my mind is healed. I am blessed right now, and I have found my way home. I've found my way home from pain to peace, from the state of consciousness of hell to heaven, and from fear to love. And so it is, and it is so. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power, the divine love that you really are. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you. Want to